This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Take two. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 105.
I'm keeping in take two.
What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. And you just got the whole blooper section. Nope, no trimming, no editing. We're all raw and uncut. Well, no, I was circumcised, but...
Okay, all right. See, fair enough. Not that I would know.
No. I mean, we're good friends.
We haven't talked like that.
We're very good friends, but...
Yeah, definitely good friends, but not...
Bill didn't know that we've been friends as long as we have.
Bill...
At work?
Yeah?
Yeah, he was shocked, because I said something about being friends, and he goes, oh, you have a friend? And I was like, well, at least Mike. He goes, Mike who? And I said, Mike that works here. And he's like, oh, you guys are friends? Yeah, for well over 20 years. Yeah. I did not know that. Yep.
I'm on a medical leave from work.
He is.
I had some complications from a minor surgery, and now I'm on bed rest.
Couch rest.
And I watched so much stuff because I literally can do nothing but read and watch TV. And
so you picked a noble pursuit of watching TV.
Well,
yes.
So reading, I got to hold the book over my face and it gets heavy.
And then it drops on your face.
And then it drops on my face. Whereas TV, I just have to turn my head and watch the screen. But I did watch some stuff in subtitles. But I did do some reading.
You did some reading.
I read some dialogue.
Keeping it classy here, folks.
No. So we got I got my normal accompaniment of shows, multiple shows to watch. I think you said right, but I don't care. And then I watched a shit ton of other stuff. That's gonna be my
unit of measurement.
Additional definition: shit ton.
Shit ton is a unit of measurement, as is as fuck.
Big
you know,
ass.
You see people say, you know, like she's hot as fuck, or yep. This is stupid as fuck.
Right.
It's a unit of measurement.
So, my ability to take proper notes. Is not that good because it's hard to type from
the
laying
position. Or is it just from the surgery?
Just this week.
Okay.
Because it's hard to type from the laying down position.
I know you've complained in the past about your notes not being very good. So I didn't know if you were like having a come to Jesus moment where you're like, my notes. I've seen your notes at work. Your notes at work are good. So.
Yeah, right. But I mean like my notes on the shows this week, it's hard to write notes. I'm too fucking lazy to write notes from laying down position.
I feel like... I'm practicing to be a psychiatrist here. I'm sitting in a stiff back chair facing Mike directly dead on with a recorder between the two of us. He's lounging on the couch, spread out like Kate Winslet in Titanic, and I'm going to paint him as one of my French girls.
I have clothes on.
He does have clothes on. Again, we're good friends. We're not at that level, though. So, yeah.
Anyways, shows
so
and
let's
stuff.
Talk about your problems, Mike.
Let's talk
about the podcast.
How about the detour?
Okay, so are you finished? Because there were two episodes left.
I watched the funeral.
The funeral and the escape.
I don't know if I saw the escape. Oh, yes. With the daughter?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I'm all done the detour.
What was this?
Driving.
Oh, okay.
This is driving.
Oh, I thought you were like...
No, with the daughter driving.
Jerk somebody off.
Yeah, so I watched the funeral and I watched the escape.
The funeral was interesting.
Funeral was interesting.
Yeah. Basically, the pilot's dead.
Yes.
Nate insists that they have to have a funeral for him. Viking-style funeral where they build a pyre and they light him on fire. And he collected – what did he collect? Like mushrooms or something?
Yes.
His family. And they're like, no, you get these lollipops that we'll eat instead.
Yeah. No, he's like, they wouldn't eat the mushrooms. He goes, but I've had these sweets you guys can have instead.
So oh, yeah.
Had these lollipops in my pocket. And then they all ate them all, and they were like...
Rolling on MDMA?
Yeah.
Bad?
Yeah. They were all drug high.
Yep. That was the part of the show that I'm like, oh, Mike's not going to approve of this.
No, I thought it was hilarious.
I stand corrected.
I thought it was hilarious because it was incidental.
Yes.
It was incidental.
They didn't all choose to do it.
Correct. It was incidental. And it was done very funny.
Messed up.
Oh, big time. That whole family's really messed up.
And then, like, the body ends up rolling down the hill and into the water. Oh, because Jared wants to release him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he shoves him off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that, you know, the military guys that are looking for them with the Uspice woman find him, and he was a former general.
Everyone in their military is a general. They're all generals. They're generals of different divisions, but they're all generals. None of them outrank each other.
And they recognized him, and they're like, oh, my God, this is sacrilege.
Yeah. And she ends up arresting all them.
Yep.
And then, of course, you know, we still find out she has absolutely no legs to stand on when it comes to anything. If we merge the final two episodes, that is.
Yeah.
She has no legs to stand on anything. And the reason why she's so angry, hunting them down so bad.
For the past couple of years.
Is because she is sisters with, can't think of mom's name.
Yeah. I can think of her actress name.
Yeah.
I want to say Natalie. It's Natalie Zia, but.
Yeah. Anyway. Anyways, the mom on the show.
Yeah.
They're sisters.
Robin.
Robin, thank you. They're sisters.
Same father.
Yeah, same dad, different moms, obviously.
And so she's just wanted dad's approval and to say, hey, acknowledge that I am your daughter.
Yeah.
Which, in and of itself, is kind of a riot.
Yeah.
Like, you could say, oh my God, it's the stupid old trope. But it's kind of funny that she's dedicated this much time and this much energy and this much stupidity to tracking these people down and arresting them to get to this man. Because it's her dad and she just wants some acknowledgement.
Right.
It's kind of funny.
Oh, it is hilariously funny, especially the way she went about it. And how she, like, likes Robin and respects Robin. Mm. But neither one of them can stand their other Asian sister.
Right.
Which is hilarious in itself.
Yes, because Vanessa sucks.
And then she made comments of how, like, you know, she was pregnant with Nate's child.
Yeah.
Oh, your uncle. You're the uncle, not the dad. You're the uncle.
Can't wait for him to meet his father. Oh, no, I was just waving my hand out.
No, you were pointing at me.
Yeah. But then to set up the next season, which I really hope they have another season.
Me too.
Delilah has taken off.
Yeah.
And she wrote a note and said, you know, I've disappeared. I've chosen to disappear. And I learned from you, Mom, how to do it. And they go back through doing the flashback scenes. Like, she has the money because she got that money that Nate mailed from the boat.
Yeah. She kept it for herself.
She has the car because she seduced the Indian boy.
The car. And I'm just using him for his car.
Yeah. Yep, and literally.
Yeah. She figured out how to get documentation from a guy, to suck her guy at a town office to get a birth certificate or whatever.
Yep. And she found what her mother said in the beginning, you know, look for people that nobody's looking for anymore and claim to be them.
She went through the obituaries and found a dead person that she claimed to be.
Mm-hmm. So she's got it. So now the next part will be them trying to track her down.
Yeah.
Which I'm all for that.
I think it'd be great.
It would.
It's going to be great.
Because now, as her sister said, oh, I've got a sister. Vanessa's like, I'm right here. You know, she's like, you'll have the full might of the USPS behind you. No. No, they won't.
Love it.
So, good show. Good series.
That's an excellent
I really
show,
hope it comes back for more. Just because we bring it up every week, have you finished up This Is Us?
No.
literally just went bragging about how you've watched
because,
so much stuff. I've had all this time. I can't do anything else. You could be spending quality time with your wife watching This Is Us.
No. Can't with a 2-year-old, 3-year-old.
Okay.
No, we haven't watched This Is Us.
I'll add this one to next week's notes.
I may have to just watch it on my own. I don't know if I watched Timeless this week or not, because I can't remember. It's been over a week.
Hollywood Land.
Yes, we watched Timeless.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
They did the same thing again that I really like, where there was Hedy Lamarr, right? No, not Hedy Lamarr. Yeah, Hedy Lamarr, where they took an actual person who had, and I think what they did this time, unless I read my history wrong, is that Hedy Lamarr was known for being a very famous actress in Hollywood, but also she was a scientist, and she had created a device, an alternating radio frequency.
Yes.
Which actually eventually led to us having Bluetooth and Wi-Fi and everything else.
Yes.
But it was a way to try to help defeat the German torpedoes.
Yeah. It was radio skipping so that they couldn't be.
So they could. Yeah. So they could. The frequency for the torpedoes would skip around.
Yep.
And
couldn't be blocked.
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't be blocked and everything because it skipped around. So in the show, they talked about how she invented it, but she let the patent lapse and she didn't stay up on it. And then the military took it in 1962 and used it, and she was forgotten about because of it.
Yep.
And I think in real life what happened was that she did have the patent still then.
Oh, did she?
I believe so, because I looked it up, because this is an actual thing that happened. She didn't invent that.
I didn't look it up,
though. Yeah, and on the show they have, you know, like Rufus tells her, hey, make sure you keep that patent, and then she does.
And then they find out that she's now worth billions, and Bill Gates has nothing on her.
Right.
Yeah, her and the guy that she was with.
Right, so I wonder if they just use the show to change history to what it already is.
Maybe.
I mean, that'd be kind of neat.
But I do want to research it now, because that was really fascinating.
I do.
Like you said.
Yeah, when they use actual historical person, real historical context to it, I enjoy that.
Absolutely. You know, because you feel like you're learning, but in a good way.
Well, it's kind of like when when the show was canceled and 2 days it wasn't, and Wyatt's like, yeah, we went back in time and we changed things.
Yeah. Which is awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. So, but yeah, I really enjoyed this episode. For whatever reason, I like that old Hollywood land sign before they took the land down.
Yep. The main story was that Rittenhouse, one of their agents, dropped off his son, who was probably, I'd say, 13, he had to be 18 or 19.
Yeah.
Dropped him off in the Hollywood Hills and said, we'll be back in years, set up the plan. And he integrated himself into Paramount Pictures.
Yeah, became a mucky muck higher up.
And then his dad shows back up, and now his son has grown up as Teddy Sears, which was kind of nice, you know, little flash action going on there. But anyway, so he shows up, and they steal Citizen Kane before it can be shown, back when it still had its code.
And why they were doing that, they were doing it so that way they could get a column in William Randolph Hearst's newspaper.
Yes, because Citizen Kane was about William Randolph Hearst, and this would have ruined him.
Yeah.
But in this case, if it never got out, it doesn't ruin him. They get to have their column every week that they put out as propaganda.
Yeah, it's their propaganda column they can put out in all his papers every week. And I like how, I don't know if it was Rufus or Wyatt that said, like, I mean, is that really worth anything these days? Well, not today, because newspapers aren't as popular, but back then,
then it was tremendous. Everything.
Exactly. So, it was kind of like, I can't think of the word I want to use right now, but it was a good story.
It was.
And it was a good use of, like, showing how Rittenhouse is trying to do even little things like that to take over.
Right. Exactly. The, we also had the, let me check my notes. I loved it when Rufus was pretending to be Langston Hughes, and Hedy Lamarr asked him to pitch an idea, and he was basically doing the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yes, singing the song.
But, spelling it out, like...
And that was the other thing, too, how they knew who the guy from the future was, because his movie was coming out soon called Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Yeah, his next project, it looks huge. It's called Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the guy.
B story that was kind of going on in the background was the tale of Gia, you know, and what was going on with her illness.
Yes.
And basically, the scientist there, can't think of his name at the time, the one who invented it.
Yeah.
He said that they had two other pilots in the lifeboat that got symptoms like this back when they were first doing the lifeboat tests.
Yeah.
One of them died of an aneurysm. One of them is schizophrenic.
Yeah.
And he's been uncured. And he basically is like, you can have a doctor look at her. She's doomed. She's screwed.
Yeah.
And then the doctor checked her out and said, not only was she fine, but she's better than she's ever been. Since she used to have, what was it, like a
heart murmur.
A heart murmur. And it's gone.
It's gone. Her whole life she's had this heart murmur, and now it's gone.
Yeah.
Why is she having the seizures? We don't know.
Yep.
But the seizures are flashes of the future that could be.
Yep. Sometimes.
And then a third backstory was breaking, what's his face, out of jail.
Oh, Flynn, yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah, how they broke Flynn out of jail.
Oh, it was like time travel plus Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
You know, they went to the jail back when it was first being built.
Yeah.
First being constructed. They went and found his cell that he'd be in, counted the number of bricks, sent him a message basically that said, it'll be behind this brick, gave him the stuff, a gas mask, you know, this. Oh, my God. It was so good.
Yeah, it was pretty damn cool.
And now he's there with him.
Yeah.
This was an awesome friggin' episode.
It was a great episode. And
there was so much going on and real history. And
this has been a great return for this show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these three episodes we've seen so far have been very good.
Yes.
I can't wait to watch the rest of the season. I'm hoping that based on what we've seen so far, we get big enough viewership, even though it's on Sunday night, that it gets renewed for another season.
Agreed.
Because it's a great show.
It really is.
It's a really good show. They do time travel very, very well.
They do. I am a huge fan of this.
I don't know. Legends?
Legends.
What was on this? I think the last episode I watched was I, Ava.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the episode.
They go to, was it 2232 Vancouver?
Well, some of them do.
Right, but basically, okay. In 2232,
there's two or three things going on.
In 2232 Vancouver, Ava.
Nobody's allowed to go there. It's been sealed off. Nobody is supposed to go there, ever.
By Rip. And what it is it's the whole place is overrun by clones of Ava.
Yeah.
So Ava's a clone. And we find this out, and she deals with that, and then they escape, and everything's okay.
Built to be the perfect woman.
Yeah.
I always have a problem with shows and movies where they cast an actress in a role that's supposed to be, quote-unquote, the perfect woman.
Yeah.
Because it's very subjective.
Yeah.
I mean, Ava's tall and muscular, you know. And
blonde, and blonde. She can fight. And yeah. She's smart.
But I don't consider her the perfect woman.
No.
Maybe it's just my standards are different, but whatever. So, yeah, they deal with that. And, you know, you get the gratuitous fight scenes of lots of Avas versus some of the legends. And Ava coming to grips with the fact that she may be a clone, and not a real girl.
Sometimes I feel like the fight scenes on Arrow, Flash, and all these shows are too long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they spend an inordinate amount of time. I don't know if I use that word right. They spend a long time fighting the same people.
Yeah.
To, you know, like the same, like, oh, I hit this guy five times and he's back up again, so I got to hit him five more times.
Well, then they also have those fights where it's like you've got the legends over here and you've got the bad guys over here with machine guns.
Yeah.
And then everyone just charges into the middle to fight with fists. Why'd you have the machine guns? Why not just fire and shoot them as they come at you and kill them?
But, you know, when you have, like, them constantly fighting two or three people each, if they're that good. They should, and they have weapons, they're hitting people. They should be knocking the shit out of people, like, more sooner.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Sooner. John Wick style.
Yeah.
John Wick's such a great flick. I think I need to watch both of those movies. Wasn't as big of a fan of the second one as I was the first one.
Don't they have a series coming out soon?
It's
going to focus on the hotel?
Yes, exactly, yes. I had read about that. I haven't seen any more. I haven't seen anything more about it.
It's going to be on Amazon, right?
I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be on, but it's going to be a series based on the hotel. I want to watch that first movie again. There's such... Okay. They did such a phenomenal job... I'm going on a John Wick tangent. All establishing right. How badass John Wick was. When the big bad Russian mob boss calls up the car stripper guy, John Leguizamo.
Not like, that he strips on cars.
He takes cars and he strips them down.
Right.
And he goes, did you hit my son? Yes, I did. Why did you do that? Because he stole John Wick's car and killed his dog. And the guy just goes, oh, okay. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
Okay, you're right. And then he beats the shit out of his son.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, that right there established him as being like, whoa.
Right.
You know,
that was a good Keanu right there.
Tremendous badass. And then later on when he's telling his son the story of how he watched him kill six guys in a bar with a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
With a fucking pencil. And then we see him do it in the second movie. And it's just like, that makes sense. Like, if he was that good, that would work.
It reminded me of that scene, I think it was in The Presidio with Sean Connery, where he, like, holds up his hand and he's like, I'm going to let you pick which finger I kill you with.
Yeah,
it reminded me of that. It just... Badass.
Pretty
completely
much.
Badass.
Oh, speaking of Keanu Reeves real quick, did you see the Entertainment Weekly thing?
No.
Keanu Reeves and Bill and Ted together in the phone booth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't read the article. I just saw the reunion photo. Are they actually going to make the movie?
I don't think so.
Okay.
They said that it would be fun, but I don't think that
they I've heard rumors about it for a while now, but just seeing those two guys together in the phone booth again, that was pretty fucking cool.
They couldn't do it without George Carlin.
Without Rufus?
It can't be.
It's time travel, so I mean, he'd always be alive.
Right. But.
Remember that time we went and saw George Carlin live?
I do.
That was a great show.
God, I miss George Carlin.
I do too. We could really use his irrelevant humor right now.
Yep. Because Daniel Tosh is very irrelevant, but
yeah.
I think that, like, George Carlin would look at him and be like, yeah, you fucking punk.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tangent over. Sidebar over. Keanu Reeves is going to come up a little bit later for me.
So, Legends, you know, we have that going on. The whole Vixen thing, you know, just like we thought. Oh, the Vixen of 2018 is in the hospital because she's a vigilante, but she never got the spirit totem, so she's just trying to do it on her own, and she got her ass kicked, and, you know, so now she's in the hospital. Oh, well, we'll try to convince her not to be a vigilante, but then they talk to the water bearer, and she's like, well, that totem is meant for my sister, and so I'll help you get it back from Nora Dark, and she does. Then they get it back, but it's still corrupted.
Yeah.
And then she gets her water totem ripped out of her chest because for some reason it was inside of her.
It was implanted in her.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Nora rips that out of her.
Kills her. Yeah.
And so now selfish bitch there. Amara. Yeah.
Amaya. Yeah, she was this episode, more than any, just shows how selfish and self-absorbed she really is.
It's all about her and her family and her tribe and her totems.
It's obnoxious.
Yep. And then we had, and I can't even think of her name, but the wind totem girl.
Yes. And training with Rory.
With Rory.
That was funny.
It was funny because he honestly just kept offering her pork products, and she's not only fasting, but she's Muslim, so she
can't eat pork. Yeah,
yeah, and so he's just offering. You know, he's just trying to be nice-ish. He's not like trying to be nice genuinely.
Right.
He's like, hey, you want some bacon? She's like, oh. And he's like, well, whatever, more for me.
I just like the what the point was. I don't understand a religion that you can't eat when you're hungry.
Yeah. It's true. But they're supposed to be training him, and she's. She's not really into it. He's not really into it. But then they have that moment when the water girl dies, and they're both like, oh, they touched their...
They could feel it.
Yeah.
Because of the totems. Yeah. Now, what did you think about Dark? Like, all right, I want to like him so much. I want him to be a good guy.
Damien?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want Damien Dark to be a good guy. I want him to be a legend, helping them out, and is like, you know, in his own sarcastic way. Yep. I just... Him and Captain America version.
Oh, Steel. Yeah.
Nate, thank you. When they've captured Nate and she gave him the water totem, gave him the shot so he couldn't transform.
Mm-hmm.
And then now Damien's like, Nate's just like
talking
to him about it and everything. And Damien's like, you're right. She's not my daughter anymore. Like, right. I thought it'd be cool. This is not cool.
No. Yeah. No. I thought I'd remake the world in my image for her, and now instead this guy's taking her over, and it's not my daughter.
It's not my image. This is not the world being taken over in my image. It's what he wants. That's not cool either. You know, I don't even have it in me anymore. Like, I don't even want to torture you, right, to be honest.
Yeah. It goes back to when he had that guy, when they had Ray Palmer captured.
Yes.
You know, and he twisted the guy's neck, and he's just sitting there, and he's like, you know, I don't even know why I'm doing this. You know, he's turning into a better villain by being this way, you know, relatable kind.
Yeah, he's not.
It's like what they did with Killer Frost.
Yes, yeah. If they somehow make Damien Dark like a good guy, like if they turn him babyface somehow, wrestling term, they turn him babyface, I think people would be behind it because I like the actor.
Oh, God, yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen him in a movie, TV show, or part that I haven't liked him in.
I just started watching, and I haven't finished it, but I just started watching that Netflix movie Game Over Man.
Oh, yeah?
And he is the lead bad guy. And he showed up on scene wearing this hat on backwards, like a beret on backwards. And I'm like, that's great! This is going to be awesome!
I enjoy him, and I liked how they were pretending to torture him. Scream louder, and then Nora caught him, and he's like, damn it.
Yeah.
I would like to see him as a good guy. It goes back to the episode earlier this season where they did the Return of the Mac. And he's fighting. I love that scene and the music and how he's fighting people, but like to the beat of the music.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that was pretty much it for the episode. Not a great episode, but, you know, some stuff got done, taken care of.
No Flash this week.
No, still no Flash or Supergirl. Arrow was on. Hold on. This was the episode where Thea's leaving. This was the big thing.
I have not watched Arrow in a few weeks.
I literally just had it on his background show. Willa Holland is done with the show, apparently. But then again, they said Katie Cassidy was done. Yeah. And now she's back full time. But she left. But, you know, there's a faction of the Ra's al Ghul's people.
Yeah.
League of Assassins.
Yeah.
A faction that broke off, and they want to find this ultimate power that her Thea's dad knew about Merlin.
Yeah.
He left this puzzle box, and they had to figure out how to get in the puzzle box. Then there was an empty piece of paper, and they tried heating it up. And then as soon as they got Thea's blood on it, it recognized her DNA, and the map revealed. And he had found three other Lazarus pits. So now she's going out into the world with Roy to try to stop these Lazarus pits. And
oh, Roy came back?
Yep. Yeah, Roy came back just long enough to get captured and lure her out. It's been like two episodes. And now they're going to go off together because they're in love and, you know, they want
to. So is Team Arrow still fighting Team Arrow?
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that was a point of it, too, because they were having a going away party for Speedy and the other Team Arrow, you know, with like Curtis and Dinah. Curtis is like, you know, it'd probably be a good party. And, you know, she was our teammate, too. I'd like to go. And Dinah's like, no, we've got other things to do. And we're not friends with them. And yeah. So, yeah, that's about it for Arrow.
Is there a big villain right now? I mean, what's the catalyst that's going to bring them together?
It's that guy there, Kirk as Vito.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. But it's not even really that big of a villain. You know, like I said, we had the League of Assassins come back. Oh, and don't worry. Nyssa gave a knife to Oliver to symbolize severing the fact that they were married. So now he can officially be married to Felicity. Because she said that. She's like, you remember we were married, right? We had that whole ceremony and we got married because, you know, to bring you into the family. He's like, well, I don't consider that live anymore. She's like, it is. So she gave him a knife that symbolizes that they're no longer married. Yeah.
Sorry. I zoned out for a minute there.
Yep.
My give a care, you know. Anyway, so speaking of CW real quick.
Yeah.
Almost everything got renewed. Like Supernatural, Flash, Arrow, Legends, Supergirl.
Yeah, there weren't many, like the 100, iZombie, and a couple other ones were listed as they haven't been officially renewed
yet.
But
yeah.
I'd be surprised if iZombie didn't get renewed. That show is so friggin'
okay,
good.
Okay, so Supernatural has been renewed for a 14th season. 14th season.
I repeat.
Like that's
not trying to spit on you.
No, I know. You did a little. I can't get over that. I really, like, I love going back and watching those early episodes, but, like, I was sticking with the season, and I was actually enjoying it, and now I've fallen too far behind, and the episodes aren't on the CW app anymore, so now I'm going to have to wait till May when it's all on Netflix to catch up again, but I do want to see the Scooby-Doo episode. I may just watch that to watch it.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one yet either, but.
Oh, well. Oh, let's see here. Sorry, I got to open up my drive again. Well, L.A. to Vegas. Did we talk about
Bernard's birthday?
Oh, my gosh. That was hilarious.
Yeah, because he's known for going over the top in everything else.
Yes.
So his birthday is always way over the top.
Yeah. And it was funny.
Yeah. Nicole's mother is on the plane. She doesn't know that she's a stripper.
Yeah.
Believes that she's in school.
And then when they're like, everyone seems to know Nicole, she lies and says, well, she's dating Captain Jack.
Yes. And he's fine. He's like, okay.
Yeah. And then, but then he finds out that, then he determines, I really like
her mom.
I want to bang your mom. So I'm just going to tell her that that we're not actually dating, that you lied.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really care what you have to do. I want to bang your mom. So that was, it was funny.
It was
a lot of humor. And obviously you have the Colin and Ronnie storyline going where.
Which is, they need to hurry up and resolve that one way or the other.
Yeah. Colin gets invited to the birthday party as well, and it's a religious-themed disco party or whatever, so he comes dressed as Joseph.
Yep.
Ronnie's Mary, and then
Her boyfriend's also Joseph. Yep.
Yeah. And we haven't determined if this party is in L.A. or Vegas.
No.
I can't remember. I think it was in Vegas, actually.
Oh, that's true. I don't know. I think probably.
Because they were flying to Vegas, and that's when Nicole was like, hi, everybody, I don't actually know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is Vegas.
Yeah. I don't know why this show appeals to me so much. It just really does.
I think it's because it's a half an hour, which is very digestible.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have a laugh track, which I don't like the laugh tracks.
Yeah.
And the humor is like, it's that fast-paced kind of humor.
Yeah.
You know, that somebody says a joke as a natural thing, like we would say as we're. So I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
You know?
And the characters are good. I mean, you have, egotistically over the top Captain Dave, and then you have Artem, the degenerate gambler. But he's not a degenerate; he's just a gambler.
He's a kid's dentist.
Yeah, you know, just all the characters involved on the show—they somehow meld together really well.
Yep,
and they somehow make it believable that you have these, you know, four airline workers between the captain, co-captain, and the two flight attendants or whatever, and the three regular passengers, and yet somehow their lives have intermeshed.
Yeah.
Well.
Yep.
It's just kind of crazy, and they've made it work.
They have.
Yeah.
Very well.
Yeah.
It's not the greatest show in the world, but it's great.
It's just fun. Yeah. Like, I could see this show actually sticking around for a while because it just, it's fun, simple, and funny.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like Superstore.
Like Superstore, yes.
Or The Good Place. Well, actually, The Good Place, I think, is a different kind because The Good Place has a lot of philosophy.
There's a lot of storyline involved. Yes. In Superstore, there's storylines, but again, it's just kind of simple stuff. And I think the thing that Superstore that helps, it has those little cutaways where they show customers acting like people actually act in stores and shit. I think that helps. You know, what was it? The one girl that kept, like, scooping the nuts out of the thing and dumping them in her mouth.
Right in her face.
Yeah, like, not even, like, it's where you're supposed to scoop the nuts into a bag, and she's just using the scoop as a spoon.
Or just the display of a playpen that's set up, and somebody put their kid in there and walked away.
Yeah.
He's just, like, bouncing on the edge of it.
I'm sure this stuff actually happens.
Absolutely.
Because there's like, you know, people of Walmart, for example. You know, there's web pages and websites and blogs, you know, that are dedicated to this type of topic. So, LA to Vegas was good. While we're talking about Superstore, we meet the new district manager who's a girl.
And she's funny.
Yeah.
She's a funny actress, very dry actress.
I like Amy's like, oh, it's so refreshing to have a woman as a district manager for a change. I mean, it's so nice. And her response is, yeah, well, I had to sleep with all the men on the board to get the position. But, you know, here I am. Yeah. And Amy's just like, and she goes, I'm joking.
Yeah.
I'm joking. Yeah. I loved how they were going to fire the old lady.
Oh, my God.
And
because she's like 96.
She's old and this and that. And she's like, well, and she's asking Amy, like, what they do or this and that, and then it brings up the old lady, and she's like, oh, she doesn't really do her job well, da-da-da-da. Okay, well, we have to cut the budget, so we're probably going to fire her, because she makes more than anybody else here.
Yeah.
You know, and then they find out later on she makes $20 an hour, which is, that's a lot of money.
For retail work?
Yeah. And there, even Amy's like, what?
Yeah.
And so, like, if you can find in the budget how to save us.
No, she didn't say that. They offered it.
Yes.
They were like, if we can find in the budget enough money to save to have her keep her job, will you keep it? She's like, sure, I'll consider it.
Yeah. And they go and they find, but they only find like 18 grand.
Right.
Which is, if
but
she
they
wants,
have like a whole PowerPoint that's like 68 slides long with the picture of the donkey.
Yeah. And everything like that. And she's like, I have 2 minutes, cut to the end.
Yeah.
And they show her how they can save the money. Huh? Wow, that's a really great job, you guys. She's still getting fired.
Yeah. She's like, I told you that. I really didn't expect you to do anything about it.
And then she leaves to Glenn to fire her. Mm-hmm. And Glenn just feels so bad about it, and he doesn't want to do it. And he's like, what would be your greatest day ever? Oh, if my husband came back to life. And Glenn's like, all right, no. What would be your greatest day ever
at
the store? If my husband came back to the life and came to the store. And then finally he finds out, like, she wants to drive one of, like, the delivery trucks. And so he lets her drive it, and she drives it around the parking lot, hits his car.
Oh, yeah.
Does
only
some tremendous damage to his car. And eventually crashes it.
Because she can't even see up over the dash, but she only manages to hit his car.
And then next thing you know, it's on its side, and Glenn's like, she's sticking out, like, through the side or whatever. And she's like, this has been the greatest day of my life. I'm so happy for you. You're fired.
Yeah.
I did write this one note down because it tickled me enough to put the effort in. I love how Garrett set up Mateo for calling Star Wars and Star Trek the same thing by changing his, like, scanning score from 5 to 121 and then making him do a demonstration of it in front of everybody.
Garrett is so amazing. He is so, like, underappreciated as one of the best criminal geniuses on that show.
So I love it. It's like, well, I got to sit around playing, like, you know, like Trek Wars every day. First of all, it's Star Wars and it's Star Trek. Well, isn't it basically the same thing? No, it's not the same thing.
You know, it was like, such a long play that you didn't even realize that's why he was doing it.
Yeah.
Like it turned into a whole other thing. And Mateo's like, oh, my ringing speeds are terrible. And he goes, just hack into the computer and change it. I change mine all the time. How about 120? That looks good. Oh, I'll make it 121.
Yeah.
Like, seemed like he was helping him.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, I'd love a demonstration. Garrett's like, I think that'd be great. Okay, Let's do it.
You should do a demonstration, Mateo.
He's got the camera right up there.
Oh, next time, maybe you think twice about comparing Star Wars and Star Trek.
Because you never saw it coming. Like, you knew he was messing with it by the end, but you didn't even realize that it went back to that.
And then when you see, like, because, like, at first when he's just like, yeah, Mateo, you should do a demonstration. It's just like, oh, what a dick. That's right. Awesome. Like, he helps him hack it. And then the big reveal, the whole reason why is because you compared Star Trek to Star Wars and said they were the same thing. And I like Mateo's reaction to realize that, you know, Garrett got him.
Right.
Yeah. It was excellent.
It was awesome.
So, good times there. Speaking of Star Trek, as part of my viewing this week, I did watch on Hulu, I watched the original J.J. Abrams Star Trek from 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't have part two on there, Into Darkness with Khan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's a good one. But they had Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched that as well. I hadn't watched either one of those movies in a while.
Beyond felt more like the John Woo version. And I know it was, I can't remember his name, but the guy who did Fast and Furious.
Yeah, yeah.
Justin Lee.
Yeah. That makes sense, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. With the motorcycle chase and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed them.
They're good for what they are.
They're good movies.
A lot of Star Trek purists will say, this is not Star Trek. I get what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, Star Trek was always more about science and philosophy and discovery. And there was action and there was romance. But, you know, they say that these are more like action blockbuster movies. That's not what Star Trek is. I liked them for what they were.
Yeah, I was able to enjoy them for exactly for what they were, but I really liked that cast together.
Mm, yep.
As those characters. And I don't care. I think Zachary Quinto as Spock is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think he does a good job.
But I enjoy all those characters together as, you know, like, I can't think of the guy's name that plays Bones, but I love him.
Oh.
He's awesome as Carl that Urban. Character. Carl Urban, yeah. He's awesome as that character. He was great as Judge Dredd, too, I think.
Yep.
And then Quinto as Spock is great. Chris Pine as Kirk is great.
What was his name in Thor Ragnarok?
I can't think
Scourge.
Of it. Scourge, yes. Simon Pegg as Scotty is awesome.
Yeah.
So, and then I'd forgotten that Simon Pegg wrote the movie, and I'm like, boy, Scotty has a big role in this time.
Yeah.
He wrote it.
Yeah.
but it was just fun movies.
Yeah.
Fun movies.
Absolutely.
And then an excellent use of Sabotage by the Beastie Boys, I think.
Yeah.
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 Because that's just a solid song. Oh, let's see what else I got. Flash wasn't new. Did we talk about the X-Files? Yes, we did last week.
Yes.
No new Blacklist for a while.
Nope.
That was one thing I noticed. Like, there actually was not a lot of shows on.
Nope. I watched two new shows this week.
S.H.I.E.L.D. Can we talk about S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes, let's talk about S.H.I.E.L.D.
I really enjoyed this episode.
So we had two episodes to talk about because we didn't talk about the one from before, I don't believe.
Okay. I know, like, our friend Carolyn writes about it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I, pure laziness, I haven't read her most recent write-up on it,
okay.
Or Krypton, for that matter. I can't remember the previous S.H.I.E.L.D. You're going to have to help me out. But
this was the one with, and now that I'm saying it, I feel like I talked about it with Rude, that's what it was.
Okay.
It's the Dr. Fitz and Mr. Leopold, you know, where Leopold
Okay, so I remember now.
And he ripped the thing out of Daisy's neck because that's the only way that they were going to be able to get the gravitonium into the sphere.
Essentially, Fitz sees his version from the framework.
Yep.
And he thinks that he's actually seeing a manifestation from the portal that got ripped open. And he's not.
It's in his head.
It's in his head.
And he is the manifestation.
And it becomes the manifestation, yeah. And basically, he just does what needs to be done that no one else will do to save them.
Yep.
And that includes kidnapping Daisy and holding her down and removing the inhibitor from her neck.
Very violently. I mean, that thing was deep in there.
Yeah. And that way she could get her powers back so that she could compress the gravitonium and then put it in the chamber and then they could seal up the rift forever.
Which, at the end, yes, that needed to be done. Yep. However, even he looks at it and he's like, what am I becoming? And Daisy's like, go F yourself.
Yeah.
And
they put him in jail, I guess. They put him in a holding cell. Yep. He's okay with it.
Yeah.
Because he's like,
yeah. He doesn't trust himself. Yeah.
And that's the episode where Deke reveals to Fitz.
No.
I mean, Simmons. Fitzsimmons. I think I had a teacher named Mrs. Fitzsimmons in school. So when I think of Fitz and Simmons, they merge together as one person because of that. Anyway, so Simmons, he reveals to Simmons that, you know, he's their
grandkid.
Grandkid. And how everything's going to be okay, because if it wasn't, then I wouldn't be here.
Right.
And it's a great moment. Okay. It's very powerful. It's emotional. It's touching. It's loving. It's awesome.
Yes.
It's a phenomenal moment. It's so great.
Yep.
And it's completely Joss Whedon-ish for it to finish with Simmons throwing up.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So touching and so, and then like, bleh.
Yeah. And then she pukes at the end. Yep. It's a lot to take in.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but I think that it's implied that that could be the first parts of morning sickness. So it's kind of putting the cherry on top.
I consider that. I just considered it.
You know, oh, and your mother's kicking in my stomach right now. Yeah. Hold on.
So I thought that was hilarious.
Yes. Now, also in this episode, we got to see General Hale's history with Hydra, because we were doing the flashbacks.
Oh, no, that was in the most recent episode.
Was it? I thought it was. Oh, yeah, that was in the most.
Which I really liked this most recent episode.
Yes. Yes.
Because it literally started with Hale as a kid going all through.
Well, about her daughter's age.
Well, yeah, well, about her daughter's age, yes, and going up through. And I love that beginning class, because I started writing down all the friggin' references.
Oh, my God, there were so many of them.
Hold on, my thing's not opening. When I say thing, I mean my tablet's not unlocking. Sidwell, White House, Von Strucker, Steve Rogers, Red Skull, the Tesseract. I mean, it's just hilarious to me how many things they kept. How many names?
The Indian guy there who would have the, yeah, Sidwell.
Sidwell, yeah. How they just, all the name dropping. And then, like, we saw Von Strucker. We saw Sidwell. We saw White House. They talked about Steve Rogers, the super soul. Like, they talked about so many things we'd seen from the universe and from the show.
Yep.
I thought it was really cool.
Oh, yeah. Bringing it right back around.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, as we see the flashbacks get closer to the current, you know, the last two, Hydra.
Yeah.
Allegedly. You know?
Allegedly. Her and her daughter, yes.
Yeah.
And she wants to, and Hydra made contact with an alien race that wanted to save them.
Yeah.
Because of this war that's coming.
Right.
And essentially, we find out from Hale that
the Confederacy. That's the names of the aliens. They're like a group of.
We find out from Hale that she captured
Talbot
to try to help him and convince him. But he refused.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how, actually, I think I read what I think Carolyn actually wrote or whatever, was the fact that she loved that even after 6 months of being captured and tortured or whatever, when he finally saw
Coulson,
he was still like, I knew you guys would try to come save me. And I know Daisy's not the one that shot me. I know it was a clone. Like, I didn't think he had that type of, you know, stick-to-itiveness or whatever.
Yep.
In his brain, but he did.
You kind of got to feeling for Hale in this, because she was raised in the Hydra.
Yeah.
You know, she had to kill her dog.
Yeah.
She was told, you know, you will kill the dog because you're cutting all ties. That she wanted to be an astronaut. She would have been great. She wanted to look at space. You know, she was a star. And they're like, yeah, but you're a woman.
Yeah.
And we want to impregnate you so that we can create this perfect child that will turn out to be the destroyer of worlds in our chamber.
Right.
You know?
And she wants Daisy to be the destroyer of worlds.
Right, because she doesn't believe that her daughter has the temperament for it.
Right.
She's been trying, but she says she's still a bit too loose with the arm blades.
Yep.
You know, as Phil pointed out, did she really need to cut off my agent's arms? She's like, she's got some problems. Yeah, that's some problems.
Yeah, I don't know. Hale is basically like, look, we need to work together because this is coming.
Yeah. And then takes Coulson up to show him.
And Coulson's like, yeah, I know this is coming. We just went to the future.
Yeah.
But then that pissed me off at the end when Coulson's like, yeah, we were in the future and now we're back. That's why we were gone for those 6 months.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, this cannot happen because of this. And immediately Hale's like, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You're going into your cell and you'll learn, you know, until you'll stay there until you can. So that was the one thing I had a problem with.
Right.
She expected complete blind faith from him and her of her belief. But then when he was like, okay, I believe you. However, this is what actually happened. She was just like, no, that's not true.
And does it feel like this is coming a little late in the season? Like this big reveal and all this stuff? There's only a few episodes left. And I'm wondering if they're tying all this in, like we thought, to Infinity War. You know, if the Confederacy getting them ready for Thanos and his armies that are coming. because we've already seen that there are big armies that are going to be fighting in Infinity War on Earth. So is this what we're tying into? Is it going to be this exciting?
I hope so. I really do.
I do too.
I really do. I you know, if S.H.I.E.L.D. ends, sad, but I'd love to see Coulson back on the movies.
Yes. They had, FX was doing an Iron Man thing the other day before work marathon. And I caught the tail end of Iron Man 1 before he goes out to the press conference to announce that he's Iron Man. Seeing young Phil Coulson there, I'm like, holy God, he looks like a kid. And back then he was just like, you know, the liaison for the Strategic Homeland Intelligence. And I'm like, aw, he's just a baby.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing, like, when you watch someone on TV or in a movie or something all for the same character over the years, how different they look.
Yeah.
It's like whenever I watch Law & Order SVU on Hulu, they always, you put the episode on, and then it'll pop up and have, like, a little ad, like, you know, Law & Order, you know, Tuesdays at 9 on NBC, and it'll have, like, the theme, and then it shows a scene from one of the episodes or whatever, usually one of the actors walking or still showing it. Well, they always show this image of Mariska Hargitay from, like, season one. And then it cuts to her like 20 years later, basically. And it's just like, holy shit. what was one of the new shows you watched?
One of them was called Splitting Up Together.
I feel like I actually watched a little bit of that the other day.
It's about, okay, Jenna Fischer and Oliver Hudson.
Yeah.
They fell in love. They were happy. Everything was awesome in their lives. And then they had kids. And suddenly they weren't having fun. So now
another show I just watched, a person recently described child coming out as a nuclear warhead coming into the world.
Pretty much. Anyways, yep.
Go ahead.
So the show has them with three children and they're getting a divorce, but they're upside down on their mortgage. They can't afford to even have an apartment. So they're going to live together. They have a guest house out back.
Yeah.
So they do 1 week on, 1 week off. So like, in this first episode, it's her week on. So she lives in the house. She deals with all the kid stuff. He lives in the guest house out back and does his own thing.
Yeah.
And then they swap off every week. So then she'll be out in the guest house for a week. Now it's dad's week with the kids.
Yeah.
And so it's comedy with a little drama.
This is not like a – this is a thing that happens.
I bet it is.
No, like I know people that have done similar things or had to go through situations like this where – they no longer wanted to be together, but they couldn't afford to be apart.
Right. It's such a drain.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Some of the stuff, it's – I think if I had kids, it would be more pertinent. Or if I was going through that, I'd be like, oh, I can relate to this. So some of it's like, yeah. One of the things that is going to annoy me, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to stick with it for this, is that their oldest kid is a girl, and she's like super, 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 super feminist type – like almost to the extreme, like basically the doctor tells them that their son, who's a teenager, he's going through puberty. And the problem that he's having with pain in his balls is that he is arousing himself, but not completing. And he's doing it over and over again. So he tells the mom, he's like, he's got to ejaculate, you know, and he's got to do it a lot.
He's giving himself blue balls.
Yeah. He's like, so he's got to masturbate. So at one point the boy's like, you know, can I get a poster of Kate Upton for my room? And she's like, okay. And the daughter's like, no. We don't objectify women in this house. He will not be getting that. And I'm like, first off, you're the daughter.
Shut your mouth. Straight away doesn't make me want to watch it. Yeah. I know it sounds stupid, but if that was constant like that, then I wouldn't want to watch that either.
Yeah, it was very off-putting, especially when you're dealing with, like I said, if it had been the mother saying we don't objectify, okay, that's a parent. But when it's one of the kids and they're like, no, we do not do this, and the mother's like, okay, well,
My 3-year-old yesterday when I said, Wesley, go put your boots on, he goes, no, Dad, you put your boots on. Like, you will not talk back to me. Go put your boots on now. You know, like, he's 3.
Yeah.
If he was 13 or 18, no.
So otherwise, it's a cute show. It's interesting. They're also discovering, like, you know, they're starting to discover why their marriage may have gone south.
Yeah.
You know, he took his eye off the prize and she was unappreciative. And so I don't know. It's interesting. I'll probably stick with it for a few more episodes. It's only a half hour.
I watched Alex Inc.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's Zach Braff and I'm a big fan of Zach Braff. His character is similar. It's Zach Braff's quirkiness is in there. So, you know, that's how it's going to be. Basically, the first episode is it's about this guy who creates his own podcast network because he's tired of reporting fluffy news. He wants to report real, actual news and interviews. And
so he goes the podcast route?
This is back at the dawn of podcasts. It's not
okay.
Right now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's taking place back when podcasting really wasn't as big as a thing as it is now. He comes from the world of radio, and he wants to report these great stories. And there is this cool scene where his kids are like, why wouldn't you watch it on TV? Why would you watch it on the radio? Like,
right.
Who cares about the radio? And he kind of gives us an example of why it's great on the radio by using different voices, and he's just very enthusiastic about it while he's giving us this demonstration. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he meets this eccentric guy, this investor, and he blows his first investment meeting opportunity with the guy because he's just too awkward. And then he goes again. He tries again. Like him and his kids and race to the airport because the guy's got a private plane. He's going to go fly away for a while. And he pitches him again, and this time the guy's like, yes, this is great. All right. We'll talk when I get back. We're definitely going to do this. Those guys over there probably want to talk to you, though. And the camera cuts over, and it's a police cruiser racing over because they drove out onto the tarmac. You know? And so it's kind of some zany comedy like that with some heartfeltness to it. Honestly, the first episode didn't sell me a whole lot. I'm definitely going to have to watch more to see if it's something I'm really, really interested in.
Okay.
But it's Zach Braff, so yeah.
Yeah.
I watched the Roseanne Return. Did you watch that?
I watched the first 15 minutes of it.
Yeah. Were you a fan of the original run?
Okay. So when the original run was on, we would watch it at my house.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like back then, of course, it was everyone gather around, you know, the shows are coming on kind of
thing.
So we would watch it, and I remember enjoying some of it, laughing at some of it, had some poignant messages. Didn't relate to them a lot,
yeah.
You know. My family wasn't like that. You know, my mom ran a daycare right there out of the house because yeah. It was back in the day. My dad was a registered nurse, worked all hours. So we didn't have the blue-collar thing going on. So it was amusing, but it wasn't anything that, like, you know, I was much more into unsolved mysteries,
right.
Stuff like that.
I was a huge fan the first time around, and yep. Then I even watched it later years when it was off in reruns,
mm-hmm.
Whenever it was on TV Land or whatever. I really enjoyed sitting down and watching it. As a matter of fact, more than once, I've kind of wished it was streaming on Netflix or Hulu or something so I could watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to rewatch it. So for me, when it came back, I was kind of excited. I was glad Dan was coming back, the original cast, the whole nine yards. And really, like, I'm going to compare it to, like, when I watched, they had two episodes on.
Okay.
Back-to-back when it debuted.
Oh, is that what it was? Because it just showed up as 1 hour on my
Yeah, it was two episodes, basically. And to me, it was like putting on a comfortable pair of pants.
Okay.
Or riding a bike. I mean, like, they really did a good job just, like, you know the characters. They don't have to establish them. They have to establish a couple new characters, like Darlene's kids and DJ's kid and that Becky's going to be a surrogate mom for someone, Andrea or Adriana. I can't think of her name now. It's either Andrea or Adriana, but it's Sarah Chalk. It's Becky, too. So we have to learn who she is again type of thing. But otherwise, like, I don't know. It's just like watching the show all over again, but now we get new episodes and they're 20 years older. And their humor has also gotten that way, too. The humor stayed poignant, if you will, for me, as far as, like, it's kept up with the times. And Roseanne's a Trump supporter, so I feel like that's going to turn off a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackie's still the same scatterbrained, can't make a decision about what she wants to do with her life, even though now she's in her 50s. Still can't decide what she wants to do. Right now she's Lanford's best self-help coach, but she's also the only one. And she hates Trump. And so there's that comedy between Roseanne and her over it. And I don't know. I really enjoyed it.
Good.
I really enjoyed it. The Trump humor isn't like all up about in your face. It's mostly just farce, over-the-top farcy comedy shit. I don't know. I enjoyed it. Did you not like the 15 minutes you watched?
No, I hated it.
Yeah.
I thought it was horrible. I had the exact opposite reaction as you. From the moment I turned it on, I was like, okay, let's see what's going on here, you know? And they have that whole thing where she wakes him up in bed, and she's like, oh, I thought you were dead. And he's like, why does everyone keep thinking I'm dead? I'm like, okay, that's a play on the fact that
yeah. He
supposedly had a heart attack. In the first 15 minutes, all of the humor seemed to stem from political jokes.
Yeah.
And it really, really turned me off because it was nothing but, you know, it's like, hey, we're going to sit down for dinner. Well, let's say grace first. Hey, Jackie, you want to take a knee? Yeah, we get it. Okay. Yeah, we get it. Oh, Jackie showed up and she's got the nasty woman t-shirt and the pussy hat on. Oh, they made another joke about her. You know, oh, Roseanne made a shrine for her because apparently she thinks she's dead because she voted for the worst possible person on the entire human planet. Okay. Oh, well, that was okay. So that was Hillary. Okay. So we're establishing that.
She didn't actually vote for Hillary.
Right.
Because by the second episode, it's completely different.
So then we've got, you know, she, you know, thank you for all the food that we've gotten. Thank you for all this. Thank you for all that. And thank you for making America great again. Okay. So we threw in another Trump. It was 15 minutes of nothing but nonstop political humor. Like, literally, that's all I kept picking out. Like, I kept looking at it going, when are they going to get to, like, the actual jokes? And then they finally started talking about the surrogacy.
Yeah.
And the, you know, it's my body, my choice. And I was just like, I'm done with this. You know, it. And then I was like, maybe I'm overreacting. So, you know, I walked away and I did some other stuff. And I looked online. And I'm like, you know, did I? And it's all over news articles and all this stuff. Oh, because they're talking about, you know, oh, well, it says that this is on the news. Yeah, well, not on the fake news. I'm like, okay, great. So we're going to get in that. Why don't you get some of that health care that you've been promised? Oh, he's going to build a wall. I'm like, guys, I mean, like 15 minutes and you've crammed in every possible political thing that you could. So, you know, like I said, I looked online and people are talking about, you know, it's very divisive. And apparently Trump actually called Roseanne afterwards and thanked her for the show and said that it was a great job and he really appreciated it. And I'm like, that, why do you need that? Yeah. You know, if the president is calling up and saying, hey, good job promoting me on your show. To me, that's kind of out there a little bit. You don't really hear about that from but whatever.
Right.
You know, then I go into work. And I hear my boss sitting there going, this is the best show. Oh, my God. The humor was awesome. And I loved it. And this was tremendous. And, oh, I can't wait to watch more of this. And I went, okay. Okay.
Yeah. All so, right. I can get that. See, like, to me, I overlooked all that. I just looked at it as Roseanne's ripping on Jackie.
And,
which
and
is their typical interaction with each other is her going over the top ripping on her sister about everything.
Yeah.
And in this case, yes, it was very politically in relation. But, see, I didn't look at it as political. I just looked at it as just being shitty to her sister, which is atypical.
If it had been like one or two things, but it was literally like joke after joke. Yeah. Like the ones that – I'm not even exaggerating. The ones that I said in those 15 minutes all happened, you know?
See, I think –
She literally created a shrine and doesn't want her sister in her house because she voted for the worst human being on the planet. I mean, where is that – how is that Roseanne? Like, was that really – did I miss something back in the day? Was she really that person? I thought she was always about, like, you know, LGBT rights and my body, my choice. You know, the tough political issues at the time, but they were like, I don't know. It didn't feel comfortable to me. I didn't like watching it, so I just stopped. I'm not going to, like, petition it or
out there. And it's been renewed for another season.
Wow. Already?
Yeah.
I thought this was just going to be a limited thing.
I did, too, but it's been renewed for another season.
Wow.
I don't know. I enjoyed it. Their couch is in the Smithsonian, and they couldn't get it back from the Smithsonian to use, so they had to build a new one.
Right.
A replica, if you will. So I thought that was funny. I thought some of the humor in it was good. Again, to me, it was just Roseanne ripping on Jackie. The whole interactions with Becky and, like, with Darlene has always been, like, very self-absorbed and looking down upon others, thinking she's better than them, and she still is. It's so, like, I like how the characters haven't changed that much. They're just adults now.
Is Darlene gay in this?
No, they keep teasing it.
Okay.
But she's not. She keeps, I'm not a lesbian. Why do you keep saying that? It's okay that you are. Like, they're constantly teasing her about it.
Because, again,
her son is, like, 10 or 9 or some shit, and he likes to wear skirts and dress in pretty vibrant clothes, but he doesn't know if he's gay or he's straight or whatever he is. So
gotcha.
That is kind of annoying to me, but okay. Whatever. People be who they want to be. But so I don't know. Hasn't turned me off yet.
Okay.
Hasn't turned me off yet.
And like I said, I'm not going out there crusading or saying, oh, just for me, I watched those 15 minutes and I was like, no, I'm done. And I deleted it and I canceled it. And I was like, no.
What was the other new show you watched?
Barry.
Okay. Oh, well, real quick. I thought you watched Krypton.
I did.
Okay.
But I figured we'd be getting to that because I know we're both going to be watching it, but I didn't know if you watched Barry.
I did not watch Barry.
Okay. Barry's a new HBO series.
With
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader, yeah.
And Stephen Root.
Yeah.
And Barry is a guy who's a hitman because he went to the war because he was a very disgruntled kid and he went into the army and found out he was really good at killing people. And he came back from the war and was depressed and couldn't figure out how to get out of it and lost his wife, lost his marriage, lost everything, just totally depressed. And this guy, Stephen Root, found him and said, hey, you could make money doing what you do. You have a natural propensity. And so set him up as a hitman.
Yep.
And he basically say, go kill this guy. And he would. And he's really good at what he does. But he started to reach a point where he's getting depressed again. So Stephen Root's like, oh, I'll give you a job out in Los Angeles. Let's go out there. And he's supposed to kill this guy for these Chechnyans. Yeah. And so he stakes him out. You know, he sees the guy goes into this place and this building and he waits and waits and waits for hours. And he's like, the guy hasn't come back out yet. So he goes in to check and the guy's at an acting class put on by Henry Winkler, not as Henry Winkler, but it's Henry Winkler, the actor, which is awesome. And he kind of sits there and watches the acting class and he's like taken in by it. And he's like, I could do this, you know, maybe I could do this. So he ends up joining the acting class and doesn't want to kill the guy because now he's like supposed to partner up with the guy. They're like, he meets up with everybody from the class after the class. And they're like, you know, let's get some drinks. And they're like, can you give him a ride home? He's got like six OUIs and this should be an easy thing. The guy's a dick, but he's like, okay. So the guy like gives him a hug and he's like, hey man, I'm so glad to meet you. I can't wait to do some scenes with you tomorrow. And Barry's feeling some human connection. So he's like, all right. And the Chechnyans see this and they're like, what the fuck? You're supposed to be killing this guy. You're not supposed to be hugging him. They end up killing him right before Barry can. Like, he goes to shoot the guy, and the guy's dead, and he looks over across the road, and then they try to kill him, so he kills some of them. And it's fun. It's nothing that has blown me away so far. Yeah. I enjoy it. I've seen two episodes so far. I'd recommend it for a half-hour comedy-ish.
Okay, it's a half-hour
dark comedy. Yeah. It's on HBO, Sunday nights.
I'm switching directions very quickly.
Go right ahead.
I haven't watched Krypton because I didn't hear a lot of good about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't know, like you had said that you were going to talk about it, and boy, you had things to say, and I couldn't tell if that was positive or negative.
And I left it that way intentionally because I want to draw people into the show.
And so I was like, you know, I'm just going to hold off and see what John has to say because I haven't heard a lot of good about it so far.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't researched it, but just from what I've heard.
Okay. So
tell me.
All right, if you want the broad brushstrokes, like
I do.
Like if you said right now, thumbs up or thumbs down,
yeah,
thumbs up.
Okay.
I enjoy it. It has some weak points to it.
Yeah.
But they really tie it in. And I'm going to go a little spoilery here because this all happens in the first episode, and it really should kind of sell you on it. So we start off with Superman's great-great-grandfather. His grandfather is a kid, you know, 12 years old or so, and there's some reform on Krypton, and there's the voice of Rao is now taking over. All these other houses are pledging allegiance, and they're basically talking to House L, and they're like, you know, pledge or die, basically. And his Soup's great-great-grandfather is like, no, you know, we're our own people. I'm telling you, there's a danger coming that's going to destroy Krypton. You're not listening to me. And they're like, look, this is sacrilege by the voice of Rao. You either submit or – and he won't submit. So they exile him, throw him out into the icy waste because they're all in Kandor City.
Yeah.
Throw him out to the icy waste. They strip his family of name, rank, title, privilege. So they're now gutter trash with the rest of the gutter trash and everybody else is up here in the high mucky mucks. And that's it. So then we flash forward to now the kid's like, you know, 20-something years old. And he's gutter trash, but he's doing the best that he can, you know, getting in bar fights to make some money here and there. He finds out from a time traveler that his grandson will someday become Superman, and he will be one of the greatest heroes that the universe has ever known. You know, this guy comes from Earth, and he says, you know, your grandson is amazing. However, there is an evil force that is headed this way to destroy Krypton before your grandson is ever born. He's trying to wipe out Superman before he can ever
exist. Do we know who the evil force is?
Yes, we do. We learned right in the very first episode, it's Brainiac.
I thought it was Brainiac.
Yeah. He's known as the Devourer of Worlds because he goes to a world and he devours it and assimilates it into himself. And he's coming for Krypton. So he's been time traveling. Basically, yes. So he's been time traveling. So there's a Fortress of Solitude. There's Crystals. There's the Sigil of House L. It's got some good stuff going for it. Some of the mythology is a little boring. You know, the heads of the guards, the heads of the army and the protectorates and stuff is House Zod. And of course, this kid, you know, who's Superman's grandfather, the main character, a lot of them are British. Mm-hmm. They have very thick accents. He is pledged to a girl from House Vex because he disarmed a bomb, you know, stopped a bomber from trying, because there's a terrorist group that hates the Voice of Rao. So he's pledged to a woman from House Vex. They've already seen what their offspring will look like in the genetic chambers. But he's sleeping with and in love with Azod. So they've got that whole thing that you're like, do they really need to do this? But whatever, yeah. You know. He's talked to this time traveler. The time traveler brought Superman's cape and showed him, you know, look, the symbol of House L, blah, blah, blah. But the bottom fringes of it are, like, starting to fade away because that's kind of like the photograph that Mario keeps. Yep. Yeah. So now in the Fortress of Solitude – up there on Krypton.
I'm actually rolling my eyes over this. Hangs a cape.
He hangs a cape.
Where his symbol disappears.
It's fading from the bottom. It's got good stuff going for it.
Okay.
I do enjoy it. I think you would enjoy it because I was worried that they weren't going to have anything to tie it into modern day Superman.
Yep.
They do. I think it's going to be interesting. I've enjoyed these two episodes.
Yep.
I definitely recommend it. It's got its weak points. Like I said, does he really need to be dating Azod? And some of the drama in it is political. Some of the drama in it is just over the top. But I definitely recommend checking it out, especially where you've got time to check it out. If you like the DC stuff, it's fun. It's I'd probably lump it up there with, I'm going to hate saying this, and please don't kill me for it, but Gotham, in that it's an alternate telling. This is not going to be...
It's not terrible like Gotham.
No. That's why I said don't hate me for this. It's not terrible like Gotham, but it's an alternate telling. This is not going to go down as the official history of Superman and his grandparents. But it's trying to take something that we all know and put a different spin on it, I guess. You need that?
Yeah. Did you watch any movies this week?
Nope.
I watched 13.
Wow. Did you go specifically for 13?
No, I just, that's what I, 13 movies, 2 documentaries, and 4 TV shows, complete series, complete seasons on Netflix. Yeah, I had time.
I'm holding off because when I got here, I saw that you were just on the first episode of season 2 of Santa Clarita Diet.
Yes.
I have completely absorbed all of season 2. I'm ready to watch it again. It was so friggin' funny, so much fun. And they're really building on the story, but I'm not going to talk about it this week because you just started it.
Yes. Hold on a second for me.
Holding on 1 second for you.
I'm trying to figure out. All right. I watched a show, and I've watched so much shit this week. I'm like, what is this about? let's see here. Maybe it's this UK version. Ah, okay, yes. All right. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, I remember it now completely. It's a UK show. All right, so just starting from the top.
Okay.
I'm going to go over my movies. I watched, I told you already, Star Trek and Star Trek Beyond. I watched this show. I watched this new, and most everything I watch was on Netflix. Some stuff Hulu, but mostly Netflix. I watched a show called The Titan. It's a movie on Netflix.
I saw the preview for that.
I think it's Sam Rockwell stars in it. Basically, the long and the short of it is this. There's bad shit's happening to Earth, and they need to somehow DNA transform people so that they can survive on a moon of Saturn called Titan.
Okay.
So they have to alter people so that they can handle the cold, they can handle the atmosphere, stuff like that. And so it's all about them genetically altering these soldiers to do this. And it starts out really strong, and the story's really good, and then it kind of ends on a
pfft.
Yeah. I watched A Perfect Day.
Was it?
Can't remember what it's about. So this is the problem. I have like a lot of these things I don't have any notes on. I'm trying to remember what it was about.
Well, while I'm trying to remember that one, I will say I watched Boone the Bounty Hunter with wrestler John Morrison, a.k.a. John Finnegan.
Oh, okay.
And it's basically about this guy who has his own – he's this guy that has his own bounty hunting show. And the very – it opens up with him – it's an action comedy. And it opens up with him chasing down Kevin Sorbo, who's playing Kevin Sorbo. And he's got parking tickets that he didn't pay. And so, like – It's like a reality show, and they have like drones and handheld cameras and this and that. And like, you'll see Kevin Sorbo come up to her, like, well, I got out of the camera's like, you need to keep running. And like, Boone uses his highly trained parkour skills to track people down. So he's always running across rooftops and diving over things in awkward ways and flipping and on and on and on. And Quentin Rampage Jackson stars in it as a guy named Jackson. And it's funny. It's a good movie. It's really fun, actually. John Finnegan, a.k.a. Johnny Nitro, John Morrison, whatever you want to call him, Johnny Mundo, the wrestler, he's the star. He actually – I think he wrote the movie as well. He was great. He was funny. His kid, you know, like the story had – I mean, eventually, you know, to save the show, they have to go to Mexico to hunt down this guy who jumped a bail on a murder charge.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, his dad's like a big, like, you know, drug kingpin guy. And on and on and on. And there's some Three Amigo-ish type things going on where they show up in the little town and the town's run by the big bad guy. And now the townsfolk said they need to fight back as well. And Boone's going to help them. So it was actually really good. I really enjoyed it.
It sounds amusing.
It is. It's like an hour and a half. It's definitely worth your watch. I can definitely recommend it thoroughly. Okay, A Perfect Day. All right, so it's...
Back to this.
Yeah. It stars, Tim Robbins is in it, and Benicio Del Toro, and basically it's veteran aid workers who tried to retrieve a corpse from a well somewhere in the former Yugoslavia at the end of the Yugoslavian War. And it's kind of odd. It's just, if you're ever interested in what happens with foreign aid people, what they do over there and some of the things they have to do or the shit they go through, whatever, mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting. It's not a comedy. It's not really a drama. It's just, I guess maybe it's more of a drama with some elements of comedy, but it's just kind of like, this is a representation of what actually happens in the world and you may not know about it.
Okay.
And I actually thought it was really good. I enjoyed it. I mean, Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 73
that's not
rating. It's a good movie. It's a good story. It's interesting. It's just different, you know, it's a little different. So it's kind of nice. And I watched 47 Meters Down.
47 Meters Down.
Yes. This is the one with Mandy Moore and her friend who they're in a shark cage in Mexico on vacation and they're in scuba gear and the shark cage lets go and they fall 47 meters down to the ocean floor.
Okay.
And of course they're trapped and they're out of radio range and their oxygen could be low and on and on and on. And so it's just, you know, the killer sharks and them having to come out of the cage and being attacked by sharks and trying to get rescued and everything and what happens. And it was funny. My wife comes into the room and she goes, what are you watching? I go, 47 meters down. She's like, what is it? Is it like Jaws or something? Because she could see the TV screen with sharks and, you know, and everything like that. And I go, well, kind of. And so she's like, huh. So she sits down and she's looking and the guy says, okay, so we're only going to lower you like 5 meters into the water. You'll be fine. Da, 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 da. And so they lower the cage down and Kate's just like, this doesn't seem like it's going to go well for them. Da, 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 da. She goes, I know what's going to happen. I'm like, oh, yeah? She's like, yeah, like, the cage is going to break and they're going to, like, fall down to the bottom of the ocean, aren't they? And in my mind, I'm like, I just freaking told you the name of the movie is 47
right,
meters.
Exactly.
Down.
There's 42 meters left to make up here.
Right? And so I go, oh, I guess we'll find out. And, of course, that's what happens. And then after it happens, she's like, I told you. I was like, yeah, well, I also told you the name of the movie is 47 meters down. It just went, oh, crap. So it's okay. It's an hour and a half, I think. It's okay. It's weird seeing Mandy Moore not being...
the mom.
The mom from This Is Us, though, an old woman makeup. I watched Revolt.
Nope. Not thinking of it.
It's another Netflix-type movie.
Okay.
I actually really enjoyed this one.
Oh, okay.
and I got to look it up still because I can't remember one of the actors' names in it.
Oh, I was going to say, I really enjoyed it. I just don't remember what it's about.
I know, right? American Special Forces soldier serving in Kenya suffers amnesia after being knocked unconscious during a battle with a bipedal robotic machine. And he later wakes in a jail cell meeting a French woman. And basically aliens have taken over.
Aliens?
Yeah. And they're robotic machines. And these two guys are trying to get to this out. These two people are trying to get to this outpost so they could try to stop the aliens. And so they're revolting against the alien invasion. I didn't recognize anyone in the movie actor-wise now that I'm looking at this.
Really?
Yeah, Lee Pace is the star.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
And okay, what do you know him from?
I don't remember, but I know his name.
Oh, okay. Oh, he was in Twilight. He played Ronan the Accuser in Guardians of the Galaxy.
There we go.
Okay.
See, I knew him from somewhere, but not like...
But yeah, I was actually surprised how much I enjoyed it. Again, it's a Netflix original flick.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty solid. Definitely well worth a watch. If you're looking for a good like sci-fi movie... I like space movies, so I was trying to find a good space movie. So
you know, Lost in Space comes out this week.
It does?
Yes.
Like Friday or something?
I think it's out now. Maybe it's
Shut up.
But they've been doing reviews on it, so.
Oh, I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah. You keep doing that. I'll look up what it is.
So I tried to watch this movie called The Rift. I talked about it last week, I think, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's still dog shit.
Okay.
The Outsider. This movie stars Jared Leto.
Not telling me so far.
Jared Leto in this movie tries... he comes off as a poor man's Keanu Reeves in this flick.
Your words or somebody else's?
My words. It's about... it's post-World War II. Jared Leto's character is an American in Japan who's in prison.
Shit.
What?
April 13th.
Oh, April 13th. So like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Tease. Anyways, so Jared Leto's character is a American soldier in Japan after the world war's over, and he was in prison. We don't know why he's in prison.
Okay.
But he helps out somebody in prison who's in the Yakuza, one of the Yakuza families. And so when he gets out, he gets made a member of the family by helping them out. Okay. So it's a lot like...
Oh, yeah, I saw the preview for that. Now I remember.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. It's just like Jared Leto's character comes off trying to be like a Keanu Reeves type guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't work for him there. But basically, you know, he's the outsider because he's the American and the Japanese mafia. Yeah, he's the American and the Japanese mafia. It takes place in like 1952 or 55 or something like that.
You know, what was that? 47 Ronin or the one that Keanu Reeves was?
Yes, it's a lot like that if happened in nowadays times, basically. Except they don't all commit suicide at the end.
Yeah. Still hated that ending.
Me too. But yeah, it was a good flick. Jared Leto's, like I said, character just to me at times came off trying to be very Keanu Reeves-like.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth watching. Definitely worth watching.
But
especially if you like...
But he's the Joker.
Yeah, yeah. It's worth watching, especially if you like... period pieces like that or movies about the Japanese Yakuza or this or that. I watched one called Bullethead that with John Malkovich and Aiden Brody and I think it's one of the Culkins.
One of the Culkins?
Or Emil Hirsch or something. I don't know. He was very drug addicted, emaciated in the film. Basically, these guys plan a heist. They hide out in this warehouse. There's a killer dog in there. I haven't seen a killer dog movie in a while.
Who's Bullethead? Is that the dog?
The dog who got shot in the head or something.
Oh, I see.
He's cuckoo. Anyways, it's kind of cool. It's like a monster movie, but the monster's a fighting dog.
A dog.
And Antonio Banderas is the bad guy, but he doesn't talk a lot to the end. He has a great monologue. I watched Wolf Warrior. This was a Hong Kong action flick that takes place in kind of current times, and it's terrible. I'm bringing this up for the fact that I think everybody needs to go find this on Netflix, Wolf Warrior, fast forward to the 45-minute mark, and just watch as they have one of the biggest special effects blunders I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, nice.
I will give you a visual, John, but people need to go watch this. So the Jeep pulls up, the helicopter's up here over the Jeep.
Okay.
And it's like, you have 5 seconds to comply, blah, blah, blah. And then someone in the back of the Jeep pops up with a rocket launcher and fires it at the helicopter.
But in the meantime, when they pop up, the helicopter swoops down and around, and then the rocket launcher shoots, and then it explodes in the sky, but there's no, like, explosion as far as fire in this. It's just kind of like a white explosion. And then the helicopter's like, whoa, we've been hit! We're taking damage! So it's like the helicopter went down from damage before it actually got hit.
Okay.
And if you're going to spend all the money to do special digital effects like this, you think you double check things.
Right.
I mean, this is such a glaring, hilarious, horrendous offense. I will show you it after we're done here, John.
Okay.
It is, I had to go back, I had to kick back my thing and watch and go, no, I didn't just see that. It's so bad that it's hilarious. So everyone needs to go watch that.
Awesome.
Watch the flick on Netflix called Everybody Wants Some. And I'm going to pull up the official synopsis because it reminds me of Mallrats a lot.
I've heard of this one. In fact, I think I was going to watch it.
Don't bother.
Okay.
Here we go. It's a 2016 film by Richard Linklater.
Linklater?
Linklater. About college baseball players in Texas in 1980.
Yes, this sounds familiar.
Can I rephrase that? It's about college baseball players in Texas in 1980. Do you know when we actually see any type of baseball at all in this movie?
No.
1 hour and 15 minutes in.
Wow. Yeah. So it's a 7 hour movie?
No.
Oh.
No, it's an hour and 40 minutes.
But that means it would be at the end of the movie.
Right. And it's not even a game, it's practice. And a scrimmage between themselves. Basically, it's nothing to do with baseball as much as it's about kids rolling into college on Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay.
To go into, to get into their dorms. Or in this case, the baseball team has been put up in two, like, fraternity-type houses.
Mm-hmm.
And there's eight guys per house or whatever. And they just get their rooms. And it's basically... The show takes place from there, from like Thursday when they get there, and there's a countdown on the screen as to what day it is and how many days till classes start. Until classes start on Monday.
Okay.
And like the movie ends with the guys going to their first class. So it's basically a movie is about 3 days in the 1980s of guys going to college for the first time, if they're freshmen or seniors or whatever they are, and going to parties and trying to get laid.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not sold.
There's nothing to sell you on.
Okay.
Yeah. I stuck it out because I thought at some point baseball's got to show up.
Which I don't even care about the baseball, so I wouldn't like that part either.
So, yeah, it just I wouldn't bother.
Okay.
It's not even one of those good coming-of-age flicks. And it's not even like the good raunchy like Porky's flicks of the 80s about kids trying to...
I was just going
to
ask.
It's you know, like in the 80s, you had those movies about guys basically just trying to bone girls.
Mm-hmm. That's this?
Yeah, but it's not that good, in my opinion. I don't know. I didn't care for it.
Okay.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Then I will not check it out.
Did you see Netflix acquires Seth Rogen?
I didn't watch it, but I saw that there was a thing.
Okay, so it's a 6-minute short film about how Netflix wooed in Seth Rogen and they signed him to a deal. And I don't know. Seth Rogen implies it's like the Adam Sandler deal where now Adam Sandler makes a bunch of movies for them.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's a very satirical look at how they make him work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, there's a big bag of weed there for you, Seth. I actually know I'm trying not to do that as much. Really? Yeah. So, like, when you wrote the Pineapple Express, were you high? Well, of course I was. You know, like, so they have him name some movies that he's done recently since he doesn't smoke pot as much, and they're all terrible. And the guy goes, yeah, we're going to need you to smoke that whole bag. Hey, we're going to need a second bag in here. You know what I mean? Like, because we want good movies, Seth. And it's kind of funny. And I think, and there's a comedy special coming up soon that's going to be on Netflix that he did. I don't know if it's already on there now or it's going to be soon or whatever. But it's kind of like a 6-minute commercial for, okay, let's get to this. But I think the implication is that Seth Rogen has signed with Netflix to make some original features for them.
Okay.
But the 6-minute short's worth watching. It's really funny.
Mm.
I watched Young Tiger because I felt like watching some classic Jackie Chan.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, you know what? I haven't watched this because I've been holding on to it. You know, just because it's an older movie. It says it stars Jackie Chan. That's how it says it stars Jackie Chan. Yeah. So it came out in 1973. The original name of the movie is called Policewoman.
Mm-hmm.
It was also re-released under the name Rumble in Hong Kong. And guess after what? Rumble in the Bronx. And it was also released as Young Tiger. I don't know where they get that from. Jackie Chan is not the star. He actually plays like henchman number one.
Oh.
He's the leader of the gang. He has a giant hairy mole on his face. It's his identification mark for, you know, crime.
Gotcha.
So if you're watching it because you like Jackie Chan, don't.
Okay.
But if you kind of want to watch like a 1970s martial arts flick, police type, you know, where there's like a murder and there's an investigation and there's some ridiculousness and there's some fun fight scenes and campy dialogue and everything, it's worth watching.
Okay.
I'm not gonna hate on it. I watched two documentaries. I watched one called Losing Sight of Shore.
Okay.
Excellent documentary about four women who rowed from San Francisco, California to Australia. It's like...
Rowed what?
A boat.
Oh, okay.
A custom-made 23 or 29.
Oh, rowed as in like R-O-W-E-E.
Yes, yeah, like row, row, row.
I thought you were saying R-O-D-E. Ride a bike or ride...
No. They rowed from like California to Hawaii, Hawaii to Samoa, Samoa to Australia. Some 9,000 miles on the ocean.
Why?
To prove they could.
Oh.
Because no one's ever done it.
Oh.
And it was actually really interesting. It's worth checking out. I watched another documentary called Expedition Happiness. These are both on Netflix.
Okay.
This is about a guy and a girl. They're from Germany. And they're a couple. And they decide that they want to go on an expedition. So they go to, I think, North Carolina first, and they buy an old school bus,
mm-hmm.
and they retrofit it to be like their home.
Okay.
And then they drive into Canada, and then up to Alaska, and then back down through through the United States into Mexico, and then down into Mexico for a ways. And it's okay. I can't give it a hard sell, but I can – because – really, until they get to Mexico, it's interesting, and then it gets really good when they get to Mexico. It's like, when they get to Mexico, it's like, I wish the rest of the movie was like this.
Okay.
But it was kind of neat. Like, they do have issues with crossing the border. They brought their dog along with them. They have some issues there. They run into, like, the standard, you know, issues with the vehicle. In fact, they're driving a bus and where they park this thing in the city. But there's some beautiful scenery that they see along the way. Beautiful sights, beautiful scenery. And when they get to Mexico, it really gets good, and then it ends, of course. So, I don't know, it's pretty solid. And I watched – sorry, I'm just going to keep going. I watched Mudbound on Netflix.
Okay.
This is takes place after World War II, during and then after World War II. And it takes place in Mississippi, so there's a lot of racism in it. And it's about a Southern family, white and black, and they both had family members that went off to the war. And they came back from the war and kind of the things they went through and how these families are kind of related due to sharecropping and everything. And I think it must be called Mudbound because it's just muddy through the whole movie, I guess. I'm going to give this a hard sell. It's definitely worth watching. I'm not going to ruin it or give a ton away. It's definitely worth watching. I really, really enjoyed it. I was surprised how much I enjoyed it. What I did was I watched a bunch of stuff that had been in my queue that had been building for a long time. I was like, I'd like to check out, but when I have time to watch something, I want to watch something I know it's going to be good as opposed to taking a chance and wasting time. So I watched I probably started another 15 to 20 movies that after 10, 15 minutes, I was like, screw this and deleted. But this I was sucked into. This was very good. So I'm not going to talk about it a lot. I just think people need to go watch it.
Okay.
It's really good. And finally, the four TV shows I watched.
Okay.
Or five TV shows I watched.
Okay. Settling in, getting comfortable.
Sorry, I know. I'm going on a rampage. Back like in the olden days. So I watched this British TV show called Crashing.
Okay.
And apparently over there in England, they have something that is called Property Guardians. And it's when you have a disused hospital. And these realtors want to sell it, but they don't have anyone that can buy it. So they let people live there. And It says crashing follows the lives of 620 somethings living together as property guardians in a disused hospital, keeping the building safe in exchange for cheaper rent and a strict set of rules. And apparently, if you look up property and guardianship is an arrangement by which people are granted accommodation within a property in exchange for keeping the property under observation in good condition, with their continued occupation providing a disincentive for the property to be occupied by squatters. See what I mean? So it's like you have a big building, you want to keep squatters out of it, so you let people live there real cheap, but they have a lot of rules they have to go by to live there. And then if they ever sell the property or find someone that wants to buy it, they can all be evicted within like a 2-day notice is all they need to give them. And then they go find a new place to live. It's a concept I've never heard of, but apparently it's big over there, and in some big cities here it is. Mm-hmm. And this is basically about the lives. I think there's 6 episodes, so like a half hour piece. And it's just about these 6 people and their lives, how they interact together. And I thought it was funny. A lot of British humor in it, which I'm a big fan of. And it's well worth your watch for the number of episodes they are and for how long they are. I watched Constantine, City of Demons on the CW Seed.
Yep.
They have 5 episodes that were released on March 24th. 7 more episodes are going to be released later this year. My only complaint is they're not long enough. They're like 5 minutes each.
Oh.
And it's like just as it gets in, it's over. So in total, like if you take out the opening and closing credits from each episode, in total, like the, 12 episodes, is going to be like just over an hour. You know, so it's not like it's a real series. They're 5-minute blocks.
Basically, you've watched 5 episodes and you've gotten 1 episode of a normal show.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool hearing Matt Ryan as Constantine. Mm-hmm. What's really cool is that they have addressed they talked about it on the TV series. They've talked about it on Arrow. They've talked about it on Legends. The girl that Constantine lets get dragged to hell.
Mm-hmm.
We learn about that.
Oh, good.
Like, it's talking about that. Mm-hmm. So that's actually really cool how they're addressing that finally, so we get to see that story. So that's really cool. And it's an R. I'd call it R-rated.
Okay.
Cartoon. There's a lot of blood, a lot of violence. Matt Ryan's smoking in it. Well, Constantine's smoking in that when he doesn't smoke on Legends.
That's PG-13 so far.
Okay, so
I would think.
I don't know.
It's like, maybe
it's TV-14 then.
Or nudity?
I haven't seen any nudity. I've heard some cursing. I've heard the F-bomb or anything.
Okay.
But it's not...
Not that I'm here to argue rating.
It's just semantics, John.
If I hear R-rated, I'm expecting, like,
it's not
heavy metal.
It's not a... No. It's not a kiddie comedy.
Okay.
Well, The Killing Joke was R-rated.
Mm. That also had sex in it.
Well, yeah.
And attempted murder of a human being, not a demon.
Fine. I enjoyed it, though. I just wish it was longer, or they just would put the whole thing up as one thing and been done with it.
I hear you.
I watched one episode called The Frozen Dead.
Okay.
If you see it in your queue, just skip it.
Okay.
I watched all 20 episodes of Aziz Ansari's comedy Master of None.
We had discussed this briefly the other day. So I had seen the first 3 or 4 episodes, and it just didn't hook me in. It wasn't that it was bad. I just didn't find myself wanting to go back and watch more. So.
Fair enough. I think if I hadn't been laid up stuck on the couch like this, I probably wouldn't have stuck with it either.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed it. I enjoy his comedy. Like, I like how he'll go up, like he's talking to somebody. I can't remember the example now. But anyway, so he goes to have a conversation with a guy and it doesn't go well. And so he actually says out loud, well, this exchange didn't go as planned, so I'll see you later. And he just walks off. Like, it's that type of comedy,
yep,
which I enjoy thoroughly. It does get better as it goes along. The second season's really, really good. Each episode is about a half an hour. There's one episode in the second season that's almost an hour long. There's a phenomenal episode, I think it's season 2, episode 6, called I Love New York, which just the way the story is told and the different points of view which you see things is fantastic. I think because it's on Netflix the way it is, they could get away with how they did that because, like, essentially you have the stars of the series, Aziz Ansari and his friends or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They are in, like, they talk about wanting to go see this movie, and then it cuts to... Like, they go by this doorman, and the camera sticks on this doorman, and then we get to see, like, 6 minutes in the life of this doorman. And then after that, the camera sticks to this girl who's deaf. So for the next, like, 6-7 minutes, There's no sound heard at all on the show.
Oh, wow.
It's just sign language with subtitles, what they're talking about to each other. And it's just her dealing with everyday life and her boyfriend and frustrations with their no sex life that they have and everything. But it's everything silent because they don't hear. And then it transitions from them to you think it's going to these next people, but it's actually going to these cab drivers. And it goes to this cab driver, and it goes through his life, and then him and his friends for the next several minutes of what's going on. And then, you know, it comes full circle by the end back to Ziz and Zari and his friends, his two friends and everything. But it's just fantastic. There's an episode in the first season that literally tells, like, almost an entire year in 30 minutes of him and his relationship with Rachel, which was done really, really well. There's an episode in season two called Thanksgiving, which basically goes over him and his friend. I think his friend's name is Denise, who's a lesbian. And it's from when they were kids until basically now. And him having Thanksgiving every year with her family.
Oh, I got you.
But they don't do every single year. They skip years here and there. Mm-hmm. And it's basically the whole storyline is Denise coming to terms with that she's a lesbian, coming out to Aziz's character, Dev, then finally coming out to her parent, her mom, because it's just her mom and her sister and her grandmother, basically, and how her mom doesn't approve of it, and resistance, and then acceptance. So it's just a really good episode as well, the way they told the story there. So, yeah, you're right. It does start out really kind of slow, and then it does really build well, and then it gets better. And then once you get into the groove of, like, the characters and the style of comedy you're watching and everything else, it really does kind of suck you in. And then you'll get these episodes, especially more so in season two, that are just really, really good episodes. Like, the first episode, like, I don't want to spoil it, but, like, the first episode of season two is in completely black and white and in a foreign language.
Interesting.
And I enjoyed it. Like, I would have liked to have seen more episodes.
Okay.
So I guess you could say it's artsy, but it's, like, really taking a risk with what you can do with a TV show and the style of it and everything.
Okay.
And it would not, I don't think it'd ever work on normal network TV on a week-to-week basis type of thing. But, like, in this format and style, it does. I don't know. I liked it. It was good. It was very
good. Maybe I'll give it another shot.
I think it's worth it. And then, hold on, I opened up Amazon Coins. And then I watched the first season of Brockmire.
Okay.
Which is something I've been wanting to watch for a while, because I thought it's Hank Azaria, and his character Brockmire calls baseball. I like baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was, based on from what I could see, I thought it took place like in the 20s and 30s. Because he's got that baseball voice when he talks.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But it doesn't. It takes place nowadays. And he's basically, he used to call, like, he was the voice of, I can't remember, like, the Minnesota Twins or the Kansas City Royals or whatever it was. And he screwed up big time, had a breakdown, and spent 10 years in self-obscurity. And now he's back, and he's going to be calling baseball for this minor league town in Morristown, Pennsylvania. I think it's only 6 episodes, maybe 10 episodes. I can't remember exactly. I loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. It's like 30 minutes each. Hank is there. I can't wait for the second season. It's on IFC initially. I watched it on Hulu Hulu.
Probably Hulu, yeah.
Yeah. The second season comes out in April. It's absolutely hilarious. Like, he plays I wouldn't say narcissistic, but he plays an alcoholic who is trying to come to terms with his life. And he has absolutely zero knowledge of what the internet is and YouTube and how things go viral. And so when he's gone for those 10 years, when he comes back, he doesn't realize that the meltdown he had on TV has now been
immortalized.
On the radio, I mean, has now been immortalized on the internet and has millions of views. And, like, they call it having a Brockmire. And, you know, like, and on and on and on. And, like, it's just, it's really, really funny. And there's a scene in it where his assistant in the booth there, and when he comes back to this little minor league club, is this black kid who doesn't like baseball, doesn't know anything about baseball. He just knows about computers and stuff like that. And what's her name? Amanda Peet is the owner of the team. And he looks at her like a mom. And, of course, her and Brockmire really have a thing. And so later on, Brockmire wants to try to, like, play catch with him. And the guy, the first time he throws a baseball, I wrote this down. Now, to me, I thought it was hilarious. Maybe you don't think it's funny. But he says, You throw like a blind baby waving hello. I had to pause it. I was laughing so hard. I don't know why it hit me so hard like it did.
Yep.
It was absolutely amazing. And then just Hank Azaria's voice in the whole thing too. Like
he's so good.
He narrates his life in third person.
Mm-hmm.
Like just talking about, oh, like when he's having sex, he's like, oh, Brockmire's really in there deep. Like it's great.
Nice.
Yeah. It's worth checking out. Absolutely worth checking out.
I remember seeing the commercials when I was, on TV, when it was on TV.
Well, I remember like when we were watching Stand Against Evil, mm-hmm. like, cause that's on IFC as well. I'd see all the time. I was like, I really want to check this out mm-hmm. at some point. So, and then finally, last but not least, I watched something called Money Heist.
Okay.
It's not a Netflix original, but it is on Netflix as an original. They bought the international rights for it.
Okay.
It's takes place in Spain, so it's in Spanish. In my opinion, you have to watch it in Spanish with the English subtitles. And it's
what other option is there?
There's multiple languages to choose from.
Oh.
Netflix has had it translated. But like, this is my thing. When you're watching a very emotional and powerful scene, and you have the actors who are relaying that emotion and their voices, even though it's in a foreign language, when you're reading the subtitles, you can still get that emotional feel from mm-hmm. them, as opposed to actors who are standing in a studio reading off a script while watching it on the TV or something.
I gotcha.
You don't get that emotional transference, you know, like you do when they're actually in the heat of the scene,
mm-hmm.
you know? So to me, it just sounds stupid. You know, when you're watching an old Hong Kong chop suey flick that's been English dubbed and it looks terrible, it's okay because you're not watching that for the dialogue. You're watching it for the action.
Exactly. Yep.
So when it has crappy dialogue, it's really no big deal. It actually almost makes it better somehow.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you're watching this show is full of suspense. It's full of drama. There's a little bit of ridiculousness in it. And it's just, it's really good. There was multiple times when I was just like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. Like, I really kind of got on the edge of my seat about it. Basically, it's about this very, 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 very elaborate plan for these guys to break into, like, the U.S. Mint. Except it's in Spain, so it's whatever their version of that is. And take the place over and make it look like a botched heist and hold these 67 hostages and then print their own money.
Okay.
So, and it's a heist movie. But, like, they go in there with this plan. I mean, this guy's been planning it for years. And then they spend 5 months together in this resort compound place putting this plan together, learning things, just meticulously planning for every little thing that could happen mm-hmm. to counter the police.
So, like Prison Break.
Yeah, but way more in detailed.
Okay.
And their plan is to spend 11 or 10 days with these hostages in this facility making this money.
Wow.
And then escaping. And so to them, they have this foolproof plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like watching, it literally is watching like a very, very detailed chess match between the characters, between the police and the bad guys, if you will.
Yep.
And there's 13 episodes on Netflix right now. I've watched all 13. The final, it's in Spain, it was released as 70-minute episodes. And there was 15 total, and they did release it in two parts. And what they did here was, what Netflix did was they took those 70-minute episodes and they edited them down between 40 and 50-minute episodes. But instead of having 9, there's 13. So they didn't edit anything out. They just repositioned everything. And I'll be honest, the way I think they did a fantastic job. Because it ends great. I mean, like, it doesn't feel like any awkward ending or rushed ending because of where they edited it or something. Mm-hmm. So they took their time doing a good job on this.
Good.
And so I think, I don't know how many more episodes are coming, but this Friday, the 4th, the 5th, help me. What's today? Today's the 3rd?
Today's the 4th.
Wednesday the 4th. So this Friday the 6th.
Yep.
The rest of the episodes get put up.
Okay.
So I feel like there's probably going to be like maybe 9 or 10 more. So there is like 20 episodes.
Yep.
But it's not, from what I read, it's not a TV series. It's a series event. So it's a one and done thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's phenomenal. I give that my hardest sell of the week.
Nice. Money Heist.
Yeah. It's really, really good. Just watch it in Spanish.
Very simplistic name for a...
There is one scene in the first episode where it does. There's so much going on the screen when they introduce each character that it's hard to keep up with the subtitles and absorb what's going on the screen. But otherwise than that, they don't. The subtitles stay up there long enough for you to read them before they pull them down for the other dialogue type of thing. So it's in that one scene in the first episode.
Okay.
But yeah. That's it. That's my 45-minute tangent on the...
I'm still here, folks.
All the extra stuff I watched.
I didn't watch any extra stuff.
So... The thing, I didn't talk about everything, just the shit I actually liked. So yeah, that's it for me.
All right.
I'm wiped out.
Yeah, I didn't watch anything else. I played some Far Cry 5, but, you know, working and this. Yeah.
I also watched pro wrestling. So
you get a whole other podcast for that, my friend.
I know. And this weekend's a big wrestling weekend, so I'll probably have less to talk about next
week. What's this weekend?
WrestleMania weekend.
Oh, yeah.
At the Hall of Fame Friday night, NXT TakeOver Saturday night, WrestleMania on Sunday.
How's this whole thing going to affect? Like, I assume you're not doing a big get-together or anything.
Paul's going to come over still.
Okay.
Because he can sit in that chair right there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're working, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. So otherwise, just Paul and I.
Yeah.
Kate's going to make us pizza.
Not going to have Rude come over?
I don't know what he's doing. Okay. He likes to watch it on his 70-inch TV.
Oh, that's right.
And he'll probably have his daughter.
Gotcha.
So... But anyhow, that's about it.
All right.
Plus, I don't really have a place for him to sit because I take up the whole couch.
That's true. No, I was just wondering. You know, WrestleMania is usually a time when you gather a lot
of people. I do have a lot of people that come over. We have big sandwich day or whatever, yeah. But I can't do that this year.
No.
Yeah.
I can't either because I'm working.
And I'm, yeah, and I'm crippled.
Yeah. Hobbled.
Hobbled. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. So that's it. That's all. We're done. My name is on the Twitter machine, Superstar ML.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K. Why are you fingering me?
Okay, first of all, I'm pointing my finger at you because I know how much it bugs you when I say Twitter machine.
Yeah.
So I'm generating a reaction.
So you're
reacting.
Adding insult to injury by fingering me.
So I'm kind of digging it in going,
gotcha.
Okay. I'm being a dick.
Okay.
The show is at What Did You Watch? And the Facebook is What Did You Watch This Week? And thanks.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Hey. It's a volatile industry that we work in.